Thanks for joining us. This is a live show on Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani, largely because we're focusing on what has transpired on day one in the parliament. And of course, I have slightly lost my voice because of the shouting match that I had with some of my friends and kids last night. Lionel Messi, of course, has won the much-awaited World Cup. And of course, we have also waited quite intensely as a Rakyat Malaysia for the day one parliamentary proceedings. So there's a lot that needs to be unpacked for this particular episode. In the studio joining us, hauling all the way to Bukit Jalil here in Kuala Lumpur, is Datuk Dr. Rais Hussein, the CEO of Emmy Research. He's, of course, a very close friend of Astro Awani. Dr. Rais, let's talk a little bit more about what you felt, not about the parliament, but about the World Cup. Let's start off with that.
Of course, I've been ardent supporter of Argentina since 86. Diego Armando Maradona started the ball rolling. And it's lovely to see a good person like Lionel Messi finally securing what he should have secured some time ago.
This is the part that is right. It is a story of redemption. Someone has been fighting for this for so long. It doesn't matter whether you are in the Ronaldo-Messi kind of debate, but it's about time that Messi won the World Cup. I can say the same thing about Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. Whether or not you are with him, supporting him, or whether or not you are really, somebody that doesn't want him to be the Prime Minister, for him to sit in the Prime Minister's chair at the parliamentary session just now, that truly, I guess, knocked some sense into my head that, okay, democracy is indeed thriving in the country. For better or worse, here we stand in the sense that whatever that will be transpired in the parliament is actually quite important. Does that same feeling, was invoked when you saw the parliamentary proceedings this morning?
I think democracy is hard work. Everyone knows that. These days, democracy is also in the eye of the beholder. What do I mean by that? There are people who, at one point of time, not too long ago, suspended parliament and suspended many things ongoing in the parliament through smart moves using the then speaker, cries freedom about democracy now. So I think it is very interesting to see how democracy is being used and for stated purposes. But remember, we must not forget, democracy itself is not panacea for everything.
Yeah.
You must remember, democracy gave the world Adolf Hitler. Hitler won through democracy. So we need to be very mindful that democracy is as good as the practitioners. So today what we saw in the parliament, not totally unexpected, unlike Argentina-France final, which was totally unexpected, the way they play. Even Hindi movie would have lost the plots because it was going this side, and finally the penalties and Argentina won. So today in the parliament, we saw, I think the two main highlights is essentially of course, there's a lot of commercial breaks like shouting and this and that, but the two main highlights, I would say, is the appointment of the speaker, which went through smoothly. I think all the unity government or unity government without the opposition, you see, sometimes the terminologies are important. Eh? Like in the US, for instance, they never call it Biden government.
Okay.
They always call it Biden administration.
Yeah, of course.
Government stays, irrespective of who is the president, the government stays. Mm. US state government, US state of department, US this, US that. So I think we should start using the correct lexicon. And the correct lexicon is Anwar Ibrahim's administration.
Okay.
So
it is the King's government.
There are some people calling it King's government, saying unity government, unity without opposition government, and then coalition government, and so many things. To me, make it simple. Anwar's administration, right? Number one. Number two, what is required to be done now? You see, what Anwar has been trying to do is basically cleaning it up a little bit, putting the administrative positions are all proper, making sure the foundation has been laid out for him to start working. Mm. Obviously, he has made an avalanche of decisions that he has declared since the day that he became a Prime Minister. Mm. But I think that should go to a next level now. I mean, salary cut, no salary, and you know, those kind of things. Yeah. It's a novelty. It is a good start. But now they are looking for what it is going to be really in for the people. Remember, I always say that next year, which is a few days or a few weeks to come, the World Bank and IMF have predicted and forecasted there's going to be deep recession in 1/3 of the global economy, Malaysia included. Mm. So where are we going? What are we going to do? So this is very critical. So so he is just basically putting all the administrative
items in
foundation
order.
In order so he can start working.
Yeah. But basically what he's trying to say is everybody's lining up at the racing line. The gun hasn't shot off yet, basically.
The second one was talking about the confidence, right? Vote of confidence. Mm. Now, if you remember, as soon as he became a prime minister, the problem was the opposition then have questioned. They use the word
Sahan
and all that. And obviously, they will continue. I mean, they are there for a reason, opposition, right?
Yes.
So, and especially when you have an opposition leader who is a more political operative than an opposition leader.
Is that what you think?
My feel is that if Tan Sri Mohidin Yassin would have been that opposition leader, his speech would have been very different from the speech that we had from the now opposition leader,
Hamzah.
And because I think he has been a political operative for life. So his speech also resonates that he's a political operative. Mm. He's not moved on. He still go into things that is completely irrelevant to the people. And what he talks about is from some unknown magazine quoting certain things that is completely irrelevant with the agenda of the people, helping people. Now, if you really, so that's the problem when you have the opposition leader as a political operative chief. So, coming back to the voting, we must remember that neither the 8th or 9th prime minister actually went for a vote of confidence in the parliament. Mm. Obviously, the 9th did not require because they had a MOU signed, but the 8th did not. So, for Anwar to take that step, that bold step to have this vote of confidence, it is something that sending quite a strong message to not only the people here, but more importantly, investors and the business community and so on. Look, this government is, Anwar's administration is going to be here for the next 5 years, and we are going to do what it takes to not only face this triple whammy that is coming.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the inflation, you have the stagflation,
yeah.
And worse still, the global recession is coming as well.
Yeah.
It's a massive problem here.
Yeah. And we need to talk about the tummy economy that you keep on mentioning. And you know, I have my own ideas on whether, you know, that concept of yours is working or not. But we have to go for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Dato' Rais Hussein of MA Research. Thank you for continuing on with us. I have with me Datuk Dr. Rais Hussein, the CEO of MA Research. Before we jump into that whole notion of tummy economy and the three big ideas that you keep on mentioning, bukanlah you keep on mentioning, these are the realities of life, right? That we are all indeed having the need to face. Before we jump into all that, there has been some conversations or questions, I suppose, raised by the opposition in the sense that why was it that during the election of the speaker, it was counted, but during the election of the vote of confidence, it was voiced. Hence, we don't really see the actual number of people supporting or not supporting.
Well for the election of the vote of confidence, there is no specific requirement to have this counted. And neither the opposition requested for it, nor there was a specific request to the parliament for to do that.
Yeah.
So they went by the voice vote. And voice vote is acceptable as it is on the other end. So I do not see this as a big thing. In any case, if you take the proxy vote of the speaker, is already they have the majority. Mm. Actually, if you do the maths a little bit, it is a two-third majority.
And yeah, actually, with 1 for 8 would get a 2/3, but it was 1 for 7. The media was looking for that one individual who wasn't voting.
She was not well. She came late.
That's right.
And she came later, and she was in the parliament.
Yeah.
But be that as may, I think
it is 1 for 8. It is 2/3 majority.
So essentially, what does that mean? Whether it's a voice vote or balloted vote or whatever vote, there was a confidence vote. It's done. So now, the cliche that people like to use, move on. But let me say this. I think enough of politics, right? Enough of politics. I was following some of the speeches by
some of the elected reps. Let's go on with that, Doctor. Because Rafizi's speech was one that was talking more about policy, one that outlines the challenges that lies ahead, and one that perhaps gives some clues into what he intends to do through his ministry. It is these kind of speeches that I too was actually keeping an eye out on. And it was actually quite heartening to find out that he is actually going on some ideas. We can agree or disagree with the ideas that he's going to embark on. But these kind of speeches must be the ones that is filling up the August House, not the shouting match of yesteryears. Do you agree with this kind of...
Absolutely. I think the shouting match... doesn't represent the August office at all. I think the attempts to be naughty in words and choice of words in trying to articulate their views is not something that what the people want. It doesn't fulfill the people's wants. I mean, you talk about naughty things, right? In a naughty way, trying to create a naughty perception. For what? What we need is genuine people who are there who sit there and voice out what the people care. If you look at the MA Research opinion poll or sentiment analysis for quarters after quarters, 97% of them have listed out these 5 things. Cost of living comes number one. Then education, quality and affordable education. Quality and affordable healthcare. Big problem now is employment. You have unemployment, about 612,000. You have underemployment, about 1.2 million. That's 1.812 million. And then, obviously, housing, affordable housing. Jangan mampu tengok saja. So these are the things that I would like to see the elected rep talks about. But today, what we talk, we saw is that a lot of them who living in a very fragile glass house throwing stones on democracy. And when I said very fragile glass, it's not glass house, it's a fragile glass house. Because just one or 2 years ago, the same group of people viewed democracy in a different light. So you see, democracy is in the eye of the beholder at the end of the day. Yeah. So I think Rafizi's speech was something that is good, and I hope to see more such debates and speeches on policy, and then not policy on air, not novelty. I mean, potong gaji and all novelty. Now we need policy that is actionable.
Some of the backbencher MPs at the lobby was mingling with the reporters outside of the lobby of the parliament, and they were off the cuff talking to the reporters, saying if they were to expect the opposition to debate and attack policy, we are going to be left wanting. This is what the statements are coming from. I'm generalizing some of the comments from the backbenchers. And then the idea here is, of course, the backbenchers themselves must rise up to the occasion to then test and attack and improve on the unity government's policies and plans. Do you agree with this kind of concept moving forward? Because, yes, the opposition will do whatever they need to do, but based on what you said, they are political operatives for life even, maybe. Do you feel that now we have to rely on the backbenchers to provide the check and balance that is needed in this 2/3 majority unity government?
I think in the absence of a proper opposition, as we saw today, yes, we probably need that check and balance within this Anwar's administration. And I think Anwar has been talking about reform for ages, and he talked about reforms in the institutions and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, there must be some good and check and balance. And in fact, if you notice, one of the MP, I think Hassan Ibrahim, has been quite vocal
Hassan
on his
view. Karim,
Hassan Karim.
Pasir Gudang.
Yes, he has been quite vocal and in presenting his views in a proper decorum.
Yes.
So I think at the end of the day, as I said, keep on repeating this, that 97% of the people do not want to see whether you are excellent political operative or excellent magnum opus in giving speeches. No, they want to have a proper job. You know, some of the parents, when I spoke to the parents, they said, doctor, my child went to the school, went to the university, and today they are staying at home. At best, they go for riding and delivering food. And they have a degree in economics and degree in... What happened? You see, these are the things, that real thing. So whether you are good in your political speeches and acrobatic in presenting your views and
or backroom door dealings.
Yeah, all this. And in fact, even one of the very supposedly liberal Democrat MP said in not so many words that we may soon be on the other side of the fence, alerting, saying that work has not stopped on our side, that we may continue to do what we know best, statutory declarations and that. So I think this is disgusting. Forgive me for using this language. This is disgusting. People are suffering. We know 2023 is going to be a big problem for all of us. Not only Malaysia.
Globally.
Globally. So what do we need to do? Stop this politicking. The Agong has spoken. I think Yang di-Pertuan Agong was saying that, look, form the government, do what is needed for the people.
Mm.
And I think that is where it should be. Now keep on repeating this. And
the same drama. I think people are tired.
Why?
Yeah.
Why is that? I mean, surely there must be a better way of earning a living than...
politicking your way out.
Politicking your way out and having no consideration for the people who are suffering.
Fantastic. One more short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a bit more with Dr. Rais Hussein of ME Research. Thank you for staying on with us. I still have Dr. Rais Hussein. He hasn't run away from the studio just yet. Okay, Dr. Rais. Speaking about the policies that you are interested in learning, previously during the swearing-in ceremony and all that, we had you in that chair and you were talking about some issues, say, for instance, cabotage policy, education policy. Now that we've seen the ministers, deputy ministers all swearing in, all done, in a way, despite what happened today, after day one, the political risk has subsided. The dust is now, of course, settling down. It may not be down to zero just yet, but still we are getting better clarity in terms of what needs to be done. What would be your three or four ideas that you think that the government must expound on right now? Is it climate change? Is it what do you call this, food security, or many more? Where do you feel the attention should be given?
I think I did wrote an op-ed on this, i.e. Putting forward about seven main things that the government, or should I say Anwar Ibrahim's administration, should look at as an innovation agenda of the
government. You're really putting that lexicon there, Anwar Ibrahim
administration. It has to be, because rather than
getting
confused, government always stays as a government. Government never changed.
Yeah.
It's just administration yang tukar.
Yeah.
We have not used the correct word or terminology for a long time.
Yeah.
So maybe it's time, because the opposition is very... so focused on the Kerajaan Perpaduan, and they're not talking about the Tamil economy, they're talking about Kerajaan Perpaduan.
Mm.
Be that as may, sometimes I would like to quote Winston Churchill, if you remember.
Mm.
If you stop and throw stones at each dog's barking, you can never reach your destination. So I think what Anwar Ibrahim's administration is doing now is very simple. Bising lah apa you nak bising. What we want to do is this.
Mm.
So these are the things that I think must be...
Please, share away.
First is the unity and understanding. I think this election, due to variety of factors, we are still studying and researching what really happened. Why were there such blind spots, especially in the Malay heartland? Mm. But unity and understanding is one important facet that this administration must focus on. Mm. So whichever ministry is looking after that must come up with plans and that engaging, because the opposition will continue. Remember, the Liberal Democratic so-called MP today, first-time MP today, said, we will replace you soon on the other side. So I think the vibration within them is still, we are continuing to work on to replace the government. Mm. So I think unity and tolerance, understanding, not tolerance. Tolerance after some time will explode.
Yeah.
Understanding, yeah? The second thing is that radical transparency and good governance. I think this is very critical, and Anwar has been talking about it as well for ages. So what is radical transparency and good governance? He, one of his maiden speeches as a PM, what did he say? No more closed tender, no more direct nego. One open tender. But open tender can also be choreographed by certain ways.
Yes.
So I think it should not be a tick-the-box governance,
yes,
but it should be radically transparent
just like
governance.
Just like no more political appointees, you can actually choreograph it in a way where the person that you put in charge may not necessarily look like a political appointee, but it can actually serve your own purpose.
In that political appointment, my view is this, yeah? Sometimes there are also some people who have this political inclination who has the 5 or 6 criteria needed to helm GLC.
Yes.
What are those? Skill, knowledge, abilities, experience, qualification and integrity. Mm. So if we have such people who can lead and guide the GLCs to greater heights, it is perfectly all right.
Yeah, because Tunku Ali Zakri, the former EPF CEO, was talking on his LinkedIn about this as well. Like, you know, he was arguing, I was seen as a political appointee, but hey, I'm an internal hire, I'm supposed to get the job anyway, and not that I, you know, I'm entitled to it, but I check all the boxes. But yeah, we're digressing.
But that is important for people to understand that. The third factor is the curbing costs. Now, we understand that the cost factor in running government is not small. You have the pensions, you have...
Yeah.
I mean, when we look
civil
at the OPEX and
emoluments.
Yeah, the OPEX is getting higher and higher.
And only getting higher.
And can it be sustainable, given the fact that we have a finite number of resources available?
Mm.
When I say finite, means the oil is not going to be here forever.
Mm.
The gas is not going to be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's finite resources against infinite expenses.
Mm.
We have a problem.
Mm.
So we must make sure that the cost elements are taken care of. Food security. Look, many countries has forsaken food security and later on they found it to their maximum cost. Malaysia, we are importing 65 billion ringgit net annually. Net import is 65 billion ringgit. Even Chile we are importing, which is ridiculous, right? So I think the food security must be given a primary importance. And you can see, the Ministry of Agriculture is no more just Ministry of Agriculture.
Yeah,
it's Ministry of Agriculture and food security.
Yeah.
Let's go to Singapore. Singapore has a food security agency. And what they do, they have that inter-ministry responsibility.
Coordination.
And making sure that Singapore, that doesn't have much land, is ranked much higher in the recent Global
ranking.
Food Security Index.
Yeah.
Much higher than Malaysia. So why? So I think this area must be looked at. And remember, when you have lack of food security, you need to import.
Yeah.
When you import, you need to use our ringgit to buy.
Yeah.
When you use ringgit, now the ringgit is improving.
Yeah.
Hopefully, with this confidence vote and more other policy driven, specifically by Rafizi, and I think Anwar is also there with the finance ministry. So I think things will be a little bit stronger. The last two things, I think Rafizi touched about it, is the digital transformation. We cannot drive or build our economy just based on commodity trading.
Mm.
I think he said this today in the parliament.
Mm.
I'm very happy. Well, he speaks the same language that I've been talking about.
Mm.
This digital transformation, the high-tech, high-value income and investments and so on. And finally, the sunrise technologies, clean tech technology. There are many that is in the market.
We can explore all this very, very...
And this is what I think, what I call this as the innovation agenda of of Anwar Ibrahim. So it's an AI of IA.
Okay, fantastic. There's still plenty more to unpack, of course. But for now, that was our conversation with Datuk Dr. Rais Hussein, the CEO of Emmy Research. The question now is whether or not the democracy that we see right now is thriving. I would argue it is. But as per what Dr. Rais was mentioning, it is in the eye of the beholder. So if you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astrohour.com. Look for all our resources there on all our social platforms as well. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.